They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew.
Joining me on the Commons today is Scott Rysensky. I hope I didn't butcher your name, Scott.
Not at all. That's perfect.
Thanks so much for joining us. Scott, you have an 8-year battle to tell us about today.
Yeah, you could say that. Absolutely. Yes. It's been a long battle for sure.
It's been a long battle. You want to tell us a little bit about what happened?
Sure.
Where you
sure.
live, so, who you are, what happened, and why are you telling us your story on the Commons?
Absolutely. So my name is Scott Wersensky, and I live in Olathe, Kansas. And I live in a community called Park Hill Manor in Olathe, Kansas, and moved into the subdivision in 2009. And it wasn't long after moving in that a letter was sent out by the board members of the HOA that stated the former board member was now elected as the property manager. And this particular gentleman also lived in the same subdivision with us. And it all started when I started questioning the bid process and how he was awarded the contract for the property management responsibility. And when I reached out to the board and asked that very question, they, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, said, Scott, don't worry about it. We have it under control. We know Jonathan. He lives in the community. He's well respected. He coaches our kids. So that's the decision the board has made. It is what it is. So whether or not there were any bids is still undetermined today in 2018. We don't know to this date if there were any contracts or any bids for that contract. But nevertheless, so that came up. The second issue that came up was brought to my attention from another homeowner was the fact that not only was this individual, Jonathan, awarded the contract for the property manager, but he was also then turned over, was given the sole rights of the checkbook for the HOA. So he was the sole proprietor of our checking account. He was writing checks on our behalf against the bylaws that were as part of the HOAs. The bylaws were very clear in that the president and or in his absence, the vice president and the treasurer must sign off on those checks. And none of that took place, and none of that has taken place since 2017. So, again, I questioned the board and asked, well, wait a minute now. Here's the property manager who's been given sole rights to the checkbook. How is that? The bylaws are very clear as to those expectations, and you are clearly in violation of those bylaws. And, again, I'm told by the board to simply let it go. We know Jonathan. We've already explained this to you. He's fine. It's fine. This is typical of most HOA boards that they turn over the financials to the property manager, much as the same as in this particular case, Scott. And that just was very unsettling, especially knowing that really based on the board's reaction that they weren't really watching the checks coming in and the checks going out. There was really no accountability on behalf of the board. and the property manager had free rein to do whatever he wanted to do. Well, so I kept asking for the records. I kept asking for the financial records after that in 2010, 2011, every year thereafter from 2009 to present day. I have asked for the financial records. I've asked for the meeting minutes. I've asked for the bids for all the individual contractors we have on site, any work that we have done, whether it's lawn, landscape, pool, whatever the case might be. I've asked for those contracts and any bids. And every year since 2009 up through 2017, the board has basically refused to provide those records despite my requests. In 2011, 2012 timeframe, because my incessant requests, the board reached out to their attorney and they sent me a letter, their attorney, and basically said, Scott, you need to stop. You need to stop bothering the board members. They're trying to run and manage the association, and you're getting in the way, and you're asking too many questions. And you at this point need to simply go away. And of course, that wasn't going to happen, based on what had transpired in 2009. So I just couldn't get the record. So eventually, despite all the requests and the attorney letter and everything that took place, ended up having to file a lawsuit in 2017, in March 2017. Finally got to the point where I said enough is enough. I have to get the records. It is required by law in the state of Kansas. In 2011, January 2011, there was a new law on the books. House Bill 2472 was adopted by the state of Kansas, which states the board is responsible for the records and the finances and all those things. They're responsible for those things. And again, despite that, the board and the manager both still would not provide the records. So in 2017, House Bill 2472 does allow for the collection of attorney fees. In my case, where the board and or property manager were in violation of HB 2472. So that being said, an attorney was hired on my part to get those records in March, again, of 2017. And it took approximately till November 2017, going through the courts to even get those records, believe it or not. It took 8 months to get the records. Yeah. Got the records finally in November. And lo and behold, really no surprise to me, but certainly to board members, certainly to other members of the community, there was a shortfall. The financial statements that the board was providing us each month did not match up with the bank statements and the checks that have been written.
They were lying to you? They were actually lying?
Well, when you say lying, I mean they were providing the financial statements, if you will, each month as part of their monthly meetings, the HOA meetings that we had. They were handing those financial records out to us. And apparently, again, they weren't watching, because those records did not match those records of the bank. So there was a difference in an account balance.
So there was misinformation.
Absolutely. That was month over month. How far back that goes, I'm not sure exactly. We were able to get the records as part of the lawsuit back 5 years. But certainly from the 5 years that we went back and got those records, there are many discrepancies between the financial statements provided to us each month versus the bank statements and the checks themselves, for sure. Yes. So there is a significant shortfall in the bank statement in our account as a result, again, of nobody watching on the board. You know, the board has been fully staffed since 2009, as far as I can tell. There's been at least four or five members. And apparently over the years, despite my attempts, nobody took any effort, made any effort to look, to get the bank statements, to match those up to the financial statements, to inquire with the bank, to do much of anything, to be quite honest. And now we are finding ourselves in quite the predicament, in that there's funds missing. It certainly appears at this point that the HOA board members are now going to have a special meeting next week, and I have to think that they're going to, some kind of special assessment or special fee now to make up for that shortfall, which is, I'll be quite honest, is a disgrace, to say the least, in that now we're supposed to turn over additional monies or additional funds to the board members who are at least in part responsible for the funds that are missing in the account. And this doesn't set well with me at the end of the day. And current state law, there's nothing on the books. We tried to incorporate Kansas HB 2629, in which would allow the Attorney General of the state of Kansas to review those records, hold folks accountable, including, the HOA board members and the property managers. And that was shot down by the legislature because, again, I think most people, for some reason, don't want to have the Attorney General involved in their business on a day-to-day basis. But with that being said, the attorney on my side to get the records, and the board had to defend themselves as well last year as part of this records request, it cost the association at $10,000 to get those records in November 2017, which nobody likes, including myself. But other than that, we just don't have any other means to get the records. So it cost us $10,000, and people are upset, and I get it.
So that's, okay, you were entitled to recoup since you were the prevailing party. You were entitled to recoup your costs and fees, right? And that's the $10,000?
That is correct. So it was these are just strictly attorney's fees. These are no fees to Scott in this particular case. This was the defendant and the plaintiff's attorneys who were awarded, it wasn't a 50-50 split, but they were ultimately awarded the $10,000 for their efforts
as a result of
having to get the records.
That was the two attorneys. What about the attorney for the HOA? How come the attorney for the HOA did not insist that the board turn over the records to you instead of writing to you and saying, leave the board alone, they're trying to do their job and you're in the way? Why didn't he say, look, Scott has a right to see this stuff, give it to him?
Sure. Well, there are two different attorneys involved in this particular case. Shula, in 2011-12 time frame, was a different attorney that the board knew, or I'm not sure who he or she was at the time, but that attorney in 2011 or 12 was a different attorney than who was appointed in 2017. So what it cost us in 2011-12 to get that letter sent to me to back off, I don't know exactly what the cost of that is. It's never been posted. It's one of those things. It's one of those mysteries. It doesn't show up on the financial statements anywhere. So I'm not sure what the cost of that was.
And they didn't charge you for it, because usually they charge you.
They could very well have. But again, the board in this case, like many other things, is, I've gone to the monthly HOA meetings. And I've talked about things that they didn't necessarily want to talk about, and those things do not end up in the meeting minutes. They only put those things in the minutes that they want you to hear about or know about. If you talk about things that are uncomfortable to them or questioning them, they tend to leave those out of the meeting minutes, and that's certainly the case of this particular board.
They tend to do that. Know that.
From personal experience,
I know that. Yeah. How much is missing? How much do you think they're going to be special assessing? I mean, there's an association in California where every homeowner has been assessed $145,000 in a special assessment to make up for the shortfall. That's a lot of money. Most people don't have that kind of money sitting around with nothing else to do with it.
Correct. Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't know exactly what is missing. I will say in excess of $50,000, and maybe is up to $100,000 is missing. As I went through the statements, when I finally got them in November, there were several checks written by the property manager to the property manager. Some of them were $20,000, some of them were $10,000, and there were multiples in several months in which this was going on. And again, we only got records 5 years back, so I'm just basing that number on just what I know based on the records that I have. There was
Is the property manager still on the board or still a member in the association and a good old boy?
He is not currently. As a result of the 2017 lawsuit, as part of that settlement, it was included in there that the board would then fire the property manager. That was part of the settlement agreement, was that he would leave. Now, I'll be quite honest with you, the board since 2009, and they've turned over year, those members, but each year I've asked, they've all been very supportive of the property manager. They have thought very highly of him. So do I think they were buddy-buddy? I don't think there's any doubt about it. Yes, that's why they didn't pay any attention. I've certainly caught a lot of flack from those board members over the years as a result of questioning the property manager's motives, including up till 2017. And to be quite honest, I think if for not the lawsuit, this particular property manager and this particular board would still be one and one. They'd still be together. They'd still be running the operation as they see as normal. And while at the same time, I think he'd probably continue to write himself checks, and we'd be just digging ourselves a bigger hole here if not for the lawsuit.
I asked you, I think the other day when we talked, whether or not you have an annual audit, and I think you said no.
There is no annual audit, no, none whatsoever. I've asked the current board back in 2017, you know, hey, maybe we ought to have an accountant look at our records, check our books, and again, really nobody was interested, so that never has taken place. And again, I don't foresee that happening with the current board. There's no interest in doing it. I think in part because, you know, you're questioning the board. You're wait a minute, why do we need an independent third party to come in? We run the board. We run the place. We know what's going on. How dare you even inquire or even ask the question? It's sort of where things are at.
Scott, if you're going to be doing any lobbying, any going back to legislators, and I know you've done some of that, I think maybe one good thing to do is to have insist that there is an annual audit. I'm going to tell you what people are, what the industry, CAI, is going to say. Oh, these poor associations can't afford it. You can't afford not to have an audit.
Agreed. And we certainly found that out the hard way ourselves.
Exactly. And yeah, it's going to cost you even more by not having it. The other thing that I'm going to caution you about is when you do get an audit, make sure that the homeowners have the entire audit, including the management letter that is included in the audit. Because usually what they'll do is they'll just hand you the page with all the numbers, and you're going to sit here and say, well, that came in, that came out, does that balance out? That's not where the problem is. The management letter is going to tell you what's really going on. So I would say make sure, because most people don't know that. I mean, I was on the board and I didn't know that. I didn't know there was a management letter that the treasurer was hiding and didn't and none of us on the board knew about it.
Right, that's right.
So the thing was, you know, have that in the law.
Okay.
The argument is going to be from CAI, oh, these poor associations, they're doing the best they can. You're never going to get anyone to run for the board, and that's a tragedy. Well, no, it's not a tragedy. It should happen that way. But the other thing, too, is that CAI is a trade organization that is taking care or looking out for the trade, you know, for their members. And auditors are part of their trade organization.
Oh, okay.
So why they're doing that, I don't know.
Sure.
But get, you know, have that in the, if you're going to codify anything, have that in there. And be prepared for a whacking great big fight with the industry lobbyists. Because, oh, you don't need that. Yes, you do.
No,
it's too expensive. Don't you trust your board members? No.
Absolutely not. Right. Yeah.
Not in the least.
Agreed.
You know, let's be fair, because I hear from board members and they say, I'm a board member, I don't do that. There are some very, very good board members.
Sure.
But there are some not so good board members, and I've seen and heard and talked to some of them, and they're the ones who need the adult supervision.
Yes,
and the good ones should not mind, because they're not going to try to run afoul of the law. they should not mind having these oversights.
Agreed. No, and that seems to be the pushback is, you know, we don't need a third party. We'll take care of business. But at the end of the day, you just got to be very mindful and vigilant. You have to do your due diligence to make sure folks are doing what they're supposed to do. And again, if you don't have anything to hide, there's no reason why you should fear, you know, for instance, in the state of Kansas, the Attorney General's office coming in and checking those records. They would, and again, there would be a one-time annual fee to each association, depending on the size. You know, maybe $200 or $300 or $500 a year to pay to the state, to the Attorney General office, to support doing these investigations should they be needed. And again, if you don't have anything to hide, I think this would be a great resource. But the pushback has always been, you know, we really don't need anybody looking over our books. You know, we'll take care of business. We certainly just don't need it. And number two has been, you know, from the attorney's perspective is, well, wait a minute, Scott, do you understand that once you get this law on the books, if you should get the Attorney General involved in investigating HOAs, who in their right mind in any of these communities would ever run to be a board member?
That's the industry response.
It's like, you're serious, right? I mean, even myself, knowing the AG would have potential responsibility to come in and look at the books, would not prevent me from running onto the board. Again, if I'm doing business above board, it really doesn't make any difference to me who the oversight is coming from. I don't care. Now, if I've got something to hide, and I'm fearful that I'm not going to be able to do what ultimately I really want to do, then yeah, I am fearful of the Attorney General or anybody else coming in and look at the books. I really don't want that. And so that's the argument. And to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's the current argument. And I think it's not just probably Kansas, but I'm guessing that's the argument nationwide.
It is.
Until that mindset changes, and it may never change, but until it does, we will always, I think, or continue to see issues that have happened here, for instance, in Park Hill Manor in Olathe, Kansas. I think that's very possible throughout the country at any HOA. I've certainly heard from others in Kansas and other parts of the U.S.
Yep.
As a result of this story,
yes,
and the story being told in the Kansas City Star newspaper, people going through something very similar.
Yes.
People going and starting to question now, well, wait a minute, I've heard that's going on at my HOA. But nobody seems to want to talk about it either. I wonder why. And so I think it's certainly opening, or I like to think it's opening people's eyes and ears, and they're taking notice and perhaps taking action. And as a result, I'd like to think there'll be some changes coming down the road from a legislative perspective, but it's an uphill climb for sure.
It is, and it's been going on for a long time. 20 years ago, it happened. Something similar happened in my HOA, and it was not the only one. I'd heard about it in other HOAs as well. So it's something that's been ongoing. I've also been watching the industry, and what they will do is they will come and they will take the board members and lie to them. They will say, you know, they're out to get you. They say you're not doing a good job. They say that you need some adult supervision. And I've seen them bring them to meetings and have them testify where they actually prop them up and give them speaking lines and telling them, oh, I'm this and I do that and I'm on the board and I've never done anything and I would never do anything. So, you know, butter wouldn't melt in their mouths. Maybe they didn't. You know, like I said, there's some really good board members.
Sure, absolutely.
But the thing is, if I was the industry, I would want to make sure that my industry wasn't tainted by the bad ones. And that doesn't bother them because they make money of having the bad board members there.
That's correct.
They make money.
I have to say this too, Sue, and that is, you know, oftentimes I hear, well, Scott, you know, you make it very difficult for the board to operate when you ask so many questions and you insist on the records and blah, blah, blah. You know, the next thing that usually comes out of their mouth is, why don't you try running for the board and you get on the board And so you can see what we do as volunteers to make sure that the community runs the way it should be run. And and with that being said, Shu, I have to be honest with all the listeners out there and say, I have run for the board. And one of the first times I've run at least three times. The first time I ran was back in 2012-13 timeframe. And I was awarded the position, and they assigned me the duty of treasurer. And I said, well, I'm willing to take on that role as the treasurer, provided we take a step back and we follow the bylaws and we get away from the property manager having our checkbook. The bylaws, again, very clearly say it's the president and or vice president, and the treasurer must sign off on all the checks.
So you should have two signatures on the checks.
That is correct. Yes. So there's two parties.
Okay.
I offered to be the treasurer, provided we go back to doing it, just so we go, so that we do follow the bylaws as written. It wasn't long after that I was removed from the board, unbeknownst to me. It was never communicated to me that I was, in essence, removed from the board. And to this day, I don't know why I was removed.
Were elected by the homeowners, right?
No, I was elected. It was an open position, so it was the board who
made the decision
to fill that open position. So, again, they needed a volunteer. One of the monthly meetings, we could use another volunteer. I said, I will do it, but under these circumstances. And like I said, it wasn't long after that that I was removed. Again, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know then, other than I have to think, listen, this guy, you know, he's going to change how we do things. And as the president or as the vice president sat across from the table, they probably thought, I don't want to be involved in writing checks. I don't have time for that. So we need to make sure the checkbook stays with our good friend, the property manager.
The checkbook
quickly removed.
The checkbook can stay with the property manager. The property manager should not sign those checks. So if he comes with a bill, an invoice, and a check, then the treasurer and the president sign the check and give it back to him. So it's going to take 3 minutes at a board meeting to just go over and look, okay, this is from the gardener. It's for so many dollars, and here's the check for so many dollars, and we sign it. It's not that much work.
Yeah, it's not rocket science by any stretch of the imagination,
no.
But again,
no, it's
that
not.
Did not happen. And so, again, as part of my records request in 2017, we asked for, from the board, any historical records showing how Scott, number one, got on the board, and then number two, how Scott got removed from the board, and those records were nowhere to be found. Much to my surprise, that was no surprise, because they didn't keep those records. They didn't want anybody to know about those things, and they didn't include it in the monthly meetings, in the minutes. I have run for a couple years now trying to get on the board, and each time I'm told there's somebody else selected, or I was not the one selected. Even today, they are short a board member. I asked late last year, or early 2017, I should say, there was only four positions. You can have as many as 10. I brought that up in the, you know, a monthly meeting, and the board just looked like, are you kidding me? We're not going to add any other board members. We've already got four, so we'll have to think about it. And so we had to convince them to add board members. Again, we can have as many as 10. There are only four. The following month, they came back and said, okay, we've decided we're going to allow one more person on the board. And so there were two of us who were running, and they selected her over me. Again, so she was the fifth. She's still on the board today. The bylaws allow for 10, and I was not selected. And I ran again in January 2018. The same board was elected again in 2018, the same five. I ran. I put in my written request to join the board, to volunteer for the board, and again was refused. So I hear a lot of feedback, get on the board, you know, you got to get an understanding of how this works, and, you know, stop complaining and get on the board so you can affect change. And I have on multiple occasions, and each time I'm shot down. And again, with no response. Nobody will tell me specifically why I was not selected or why there isn't a sixth member when the bylaws allow for 10. Again, they don't want to hear from me. They don't want to hear about the checkbook. They don't want to hear why we got double charged for maintenance last year. Who's watching for that? They don't want to hear those type of things. They want to be able to set up the Easter egg hunt and the garage sale and let everybody know that all is good in their world because the Easter egg hunt was a success and so was the garage sale.
How many units in your association?
I think there's a little over 100.
Okay, that's not...
single-family homes.
I'll tell you what we did years ago. We went to the board. I mean, when I was on the board, I wrote a monthly column and in the newsletter, and I talked about the issues, and I talked about the two sides of the issues and how I voted and why I voted the way I did. And to this day, I have people, and that we're going back to the 1990s that I was on the board.
Right.
So it's been a long time. And to this day, I run into people. I live, my association's 1,300, so it's quite big.
Right.
And they'll come up to me and say, oh, you're Shu. I miss your column. I miss reading it. I enjoyed reading your column because I always talked about, just stuck to the issues. I'd say people,
right,
you know, proponents of this like it because... those of us, or opponents, think this, and here's where how I voted and why.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started to trust me, although, you know, there's always this, oh, my God, you can't trust her. She's trying to, why would I go and try to destroy their property values, which is entirely stupid. They come up with stuff.
Right,
but
right.
One thing we did do, Scott, when I got off the board, and there were two of us, one thing we did was we wrote these, we sort of made fun of the board, and we made fun of the issues, and we had this Ask the Supreme Neighbor, because the new president came on and said, hey, I'm the Supreme Neighbor. So we looked at each other, and we thought, all right. So we went to the meetings, and we actually wrote this questionnaire. So we'd have people send questions to Dear Supreme Neighbor or Hello Soupy, I understand. And it was always done in a funny way, but what we were doing was telling people what was going on.
Sure,
and the letters were written from, you know, anybody. They weren't real people. They were characters from movies, characters. Joe Friday,
okay,
for instance.
Okay.
Joe Friday sent something because at one of the meetings, the manager said, oh, we don't know who's doing this, but we are sending these letters to the police station, and they want to know. They're going to investigate. Yeah, right. You know, you bloody liars. So in the next edition of Ask Soupy, the Supreme Neighbor, there was, Dear Soupy, I don't know who's been sending us all these letters, but please don't stop because my boys need something to laugh about, and these are hysterical. Signed, Joe Friday. You know?
That's great.
And so then all of a sudden we had people, who's doing this? Who's writing this? But we did. We printed up, not all of them, I mean, 1,300 every
wow.
week or so was
wow.
too many.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'd do 500 or 700 or whatever, and we'd go and deliver them door to door. And
wow.
so gradually as people found out who we were, or they'd go to the meetings, and they'd say, I volunteered to help distribute these.
That's good. That's one way to get them to participate.
So we actually had a lot of fun with it, and we let people know, even though it may not have been in the official board minutes, we let people know exactly what was going on.
Absolutely. And that's all people want at the end of the day, is just some transparency in how the business is operated. And it doesn't seem like it's overly difficult to do, but in some cases it is for some reason.
Yeah, they don't want you to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the reason I told you that story is there's
There are a ton of ways that you can find to get the word out. You don't have to be on the board. In a lot of ways, I had more fun off the board.
Sure.
Because there was nothing holding me back. Mm-hmm. I did not represent the association. I was just a member.
Right, right.
Exercising my First Amendment rights.
Right. No, it makes sense. Absolutely. I agree.
And so I don't know if that's something you're interested in doing, but if you have a couple of people who are like-minded and are willing to work with you, I mean, make it funny.
Yeah.
Get someone who's really good at,
Just, you know, make it fun, make it more fun for people to get involved, I think may go a long way.
Oh, we did. I mean, we did. We just, the things we did, I should put it in a book because give you guys ideas.
Absolutely. Please do. Write that book. I'll be the first one to
First one to buy it?
Yes. The official record keeping or how to work an HOA or something along those lines, yes.
But just have fun with it. I mean if you go to the meetings, take notes, let people know what's going on. Not everybody's gonna go. And if you put it in a humorous way, you're going to get their attention.
Absolutely.
Don't do it on your own. Have someone else work with you.
And that's, I guess, you know, part of the challenge, too, is to get other people involved. Because typically, you know, in a monthly meeting, at least the ones I've been to, it's 6 or 8 people is all.
Yeah.
We do it at McDonald's. That's, believe it or not, we do it at one of the empty tables at McDonald's. That's where we have our monthly HOA meetings. Again, I don't think that's probably the best setting. but that's where we have it. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. But, you know, they won't let me on the board in order to make that change. I can certainly, and I have brought it up, but it falls on deaf ears at that point. So
you're not going to get them to change.
Right.
But you can get you to change.
Sure.
And you can get you to stop beating your head against the brick wall.
That'd be nice.
you can get you to find a different way of dealing with it.
Right.
And get, you know, just get the word out.
Right.
It's not 100 homes. It's not that many people.
No.
I mean, we did 1,300.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, we delivered those flyers. It was nice because people kept coming up. Some people were pissed. They'd come in and they'd say, there's people trespassing on my property, putting stuff
right,
out there
right.
on my door.
Yeah.
Put it on the doors. Don't put it in mailboxes because that's a violation. So put it on doors.
Yeah.
And so we did that. And it was done anonymously, although everybody knew who did it. Everybody knew who did it.
Sure. Absolutely.
So...
So certainly some good advice, Sue. So I'll take that into account, obviously, and see what we can do again to affect positive change, and which is ultimately that's what we all want.
We've done so much with flyers, and we've had meetings on common property.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a chair and bring a drink and bring a picnic lunch and join us and let's talk about the mess we're in. And then we do something with cartoons and diagrams and the board would just go absolutely ballistic. We say, you're invited, you can come. But the thing is, there's a lot you can do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot you can do.
Absolutely. And the other thing, Sue, I guess is kind of concerning for me, and I have to think it's probably the case everywhere, is that the board really holds all the power. They can, you know, they can assess fees, they can do liens on property, they have the rights to do all of that.
They do.
In many cases, and certainly in the cases in the state of Kansas, the HOA boards have more authority than any city, state, county government, period. I mean, it's hard to just think about that for a minute. for all the folks out there to think about that. These HOA boards have more power than any local law enforcement, legislative body. It's if you sit back and think about that, you have to think, how scary is that, that we've allowed this to happen and get to this point? But that's where we're at.
They have that because they say that it is a contractual agreement and that you agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So if the contract is that you agreed to be fined, you agreed to have someone snooping in your yard, you agreed to be foreclosed on, all of these things that 9 times out of 10 is a result of enabling legislation passed by the by the Kansas legislature. And not just Kansas, it's all over the place.
The
fact is that if it's a contract, then what you need to do is you need to amend that contract, and you have the power to do so. I'm not saying it's easy.
I am
not saying it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have the power and the ability to gut the covenants.
And if
there's any need for it, for instance, if there's any common property that needs to be maintained, you can allow the association to collect the funds to maintain that. But you don't need to have all the other stuff. They will tell you that property, that the association's there to protect property values. The Ferran case, Old Belhaven here in Virginia, once they gutted their governing documents, removed all. There's no architectural control committee. There are no covenants. There are no restrictions. There's nothing. Once all of that was gone, the homeowner started making additions and fixing up their homes that they were never allowed to do because the Architectural Control Committee wouldn't allow them to do it. But the property values, here's what happened. The property values went up. So associations depress property values. Just keep that in mind. Okay, I'm sorry.
And on the flip side, Shu, I mean, there are some benefits, I think, to having the HOAs in place. For instance, in your scenario where the covenants and bylaws or whatever the case would be, all of them have been, you know, removed, if you will. So how do you protect yourself as a homeowner in a community without HOAs when somebody decides to paint their house a bright pink?
Somebody decides to paint their house a bright pink, it's not going to hurt you. My association's really old. My next door neighbor painted, I live in a townhouse. My next door neighbor painted his house this Caribbean blue. And everybody was in a tiz. And so I had to remind the board. I mean, people went to the meeting and they were yelling and screaming and you've got to do something about it. And I reminded the board that the board did not have the authority to dictate colors, because we're an old association. That's not in our governing documents.
Okay.
I said, if you go to court, you're going to lose. Don't even think about it.
No.
So what I did I went next door, and I said, oh, boy, I just love your house. I said, it reminds me of the Caribbean Ocean, so don't be surprised if you come home one day and you find all these bright colored fish going up the side of your house with all these bubbles. Can you imagine? So I just sort of drew this, and they looked at it, and the next day they went and got some paint and painted it again. So, I mean, there are ways of doing it. You don't to be obnoxious about it.
In our case, if you want to put a deck in, if you want to put up a fence, if you want to stain your deck, anything, if you want to paint your house, you have to go through the approval process to do just that. Which, you know, to some degree, I can agree, but in many instances, I can't agree, because it gives them, again, all the power in the world for this particular community. And is it really, are we being served in the, you know, for what we pay? in the right way in this particular case.
So why do you want somebody else to dictate what yes. you do with your house?
Agreed. Agreed.
Why do you need that?
I think at this point for homeowners, at least I'll speak for mine, it's because that's what we've always done. That's what we've always had. So who, you know, somebody's already questioning in our community, for instance, if we're down all this money, and how are we going to open the pool in the summer? Is somebody's talking about, well, perhaps the because we're so short on money, we should just dissolve the HOA and just move on and forget it. And then other people push back. Well, how are we going to open the pool? It's really expensive to operate the pool. Who's going to run and manage and pay all the bills for the pool if we don't have an HOA?
See, you can keep the HOA, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You can gut a lot of the nonsense. You can mm-hmm. strip them of a lot of the power, but you can still pay assessments to
sure.
cover the cost of the pool if everybody mm-hmm. wants it,
yeah.
and it's a benefit.
Yeah.
Then keep the pool.
Yeah,
or you can sell it to Pools R Us or Off the Deep End. And for those who want to belong to the pool,
mm-hmm.
pay membership. But the pool can still be there. I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to lose everything. It just
mm-hmm.
means that you're not going to have someone telling you that fining you because you have a hose in your front yard that you didn't get permission to put there.
Right,
or you're
right.
not going to lose your house as one veteran did because he put a small flag in a flower pot. And he was really offended. He had a letter telling him that he had an unapproved object. And he took real offense at that.
In his
flower pot, and to remove the unapproved object.
Wow.
People have been fined for having dusty mailboxes.
Mm-hmm.
People have been fined for having the wrong color stones. The list goes on and on. Is that really what you want? Is it going to protect your property values?
Definitely.
No,
it's gone way too far at that point.
Yeah.
Sure.
But there is no halfway point. You either give them those powers or you don't.
Yeah,
if there's a benefit like the pool,
mm-hmm.
then I have no problem with that. Just leave the pool in there. You don't have to take that out.
Yeah.
You can include language in there that you will be paying assessments X number of dollars for the pool.
Right. Absolutely. That makes sense.
And just get rid of what you don't need
right.
and keep what you do need.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. I agree. So
there are ways around it, Scott.
Right. Okay.
There are ways around it. So,
sure.
I mean, see if you can find like-minded people, and then you're going to need an attorney to help you sort this out.
Right.
And what you're going to need to do is just look at the governing documents and see
mm-hmm.
what's in there that is just giving them too much power.
Too much power. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to take a look at that. I'll be honest. I've certainly read them and understand them to a certain degree with the expectation that, again, we follow those. But that certainly has been the case. But maybe a better route is, to your point, is to just simply look at those documents and maybe take out of those documents that power and authority that the board seems to have on us and go that route, perhaps.
No,
makes
fine.
More sense.
Really, when you look at the covenants, most people, yes, you're going to have someone who paints their house a Caribbean blue sea color.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right.
But you can take care of that. I mean, you don't need a cannon to kill a fly. And that's in essence what you do with the board. I mean, you can go up and just, as I did with my neighbor, I said, hey, I love the color. I do love the color. It was inappropriate for the house, but I love the color. It reminds me of the Caribbean Sea.
Yeah.
And don't you think it would look great to have all these colored fish? And, you know, we'll have this and we'll have that. And I think he started imagining what his house was going to look like. And he said, but wait a minute. The next day out came the new color of paint, and away we went.
The blue was a bad idea. You convinced him that quickly. That's good.
Yeah, but it can be done. With humor. You know, the minute you go in, hey, are you a stupid idiot? What are you thinking? You've got this antagonistic relationship going with
it. Absolutely, sure.
So, but if you're friends and you start laughing and working with them,
right?
You're gonna have a whole different outcome.
Sure.
You're gonna have a whole different outcome.
I don't disagree.
And that's where you get, and you know, you said we've always had them, we haven't. Associations have only been around since probably the early 70s.
Oh, that is okay.
Where they've been, you know, where they've been mass-produced.
Hmm.
But people didn't live in associations before. They didn't have them. They didn't need them. They were neighbors. They were friends. They were a real community. What we have has destroyed community.
I agree. It certainly has an art. I can speak to that firsthand, for sure, yes.
Yeah, but you're not alone.
Oh, no, I understand that.
You're not alone. So you sort of lobbied for legislation that would give who, the Attorney General, the power to oversee associations?
Correct.
And that failed?
That failed. That was Kansas HB 2629, I believe, was the number. And it got through the committee. The committee read through the bill, made some minor modifications, and then approved and then forwarded up to the House. And it's my understanding the House members took it very lightly. I mean, I'm not even sure if they took a recorded vote, a written recorded vote. I think my understanding is they just went around the room and took a verbal vote, and it got to the point where the nays surpassed the yeas, and the bill fails. And they just, you know, that was it. And that's where it stopped. And the feedback was that folks from rural Kansas live in smaller, perhaps smaller communities, subdivisions, and, you know, they don't have the issues, perhaps. They settle it in-house, and everything's fine, and everybody agrees,
and they don't have
the disagreements.
Who told you that?
Yeah, well, again, that's...
know, that's not true.
So, no, it's not true, but I think that's the thinking from, you know, folks in perhaps rural Kansas, and so they have a hard time perhaps understanding kind of where Olathe sits. You know, Olathe is close to Kansas City, and it's a fairly big community in all the surrounding areas in and around Kansas City, but outside of... you know, Olathe, if you go west of Olathe, there's not a whole lot of Kansas left. And so there's a lot of small communities. And, you know, those folks that represent those communities are apparently not in favor, obviously, of a one-time lump sum fee each month to pay for this added protection and utilizing the AG to sell disagreements or investigate things such as what's happened in my community without tying up the courts within Johnson County here, and without tying up additional taxpayer money within those court systems to process all those documents, you know, that could all go away.
If we did away with HOAs too, but nobody's suggesting that.
Absolutely. But at the same time, I think bypassing such legislation would also then, I have to think, would put the HOA board members on notice if they're going to stay. You got to walk a straight line. You got to do what's being asked. You got to read the bylaws. You have to understand what's in those, and you have to follow those, because there's a potential you could be investigated by the AG if you're not. And so I think you would stop a lot of the shenanigans, if you will, of HOA board members, again, provided HOAs keep, you know, stay in place. And I think they will until changes happen, and that's going to be a lengthy process. But in the meantime...
Don't try to fix them, Scott. Look, we're out of time, believe it or not.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us. Please keep in touch. Let us know how you're doing.
Absolutely.
And good luck, and good luck with getting on the board. But if you don't, just remember, you're freer to do a lot more stuff.
We'll keep trying. Sue, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.